This is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Welcome to the Vintage Homeschool Mom Show. Your host, Felice Gerwitz, is an author, a publisher, and your radio show host. She will encourage, educate, and inspire you with answers to your most pressing questions, from homeschool, marriage, parenting, and much more. Felice loves to equip moms to live a Christian life because every moment counts. Be sure to visit her website at mediaangels.com. And here's your host, Felice Gerwitz.
Well, welcome to all of you who are joining us today. And this is one of my favorite times, and that's lunch with Meredith Curtis, who is on the line. And I wanted to remind you that this show is brought to you by Meredith Curtis and myself. The first is with Media Angels, and that is my publishing company, and you can find out more information about Christian books, tapes, recordings, expos, and even audio classes at mediaangels.com. And then I also want to tell you about an exciting event that only happens once a year, and that is the Finish Well Conference. If you want an intimate setting where people are going to go out of their way to make sure that you and your family are welcomed, are prayed for, and help with the selection of books and answers to your questions, this is the conference to come to. It happens once a year. This year the theme is what is a family and what is a normal family, and that is going to be our topic today. And so you can find more information at finishwellcon.com. That's finishwellcon.com. And today we are recording another wonderful episode with Meredith, and I wanted to welcome you, Meredith. Thanks for being on the line with me.
Felice, thanks so much for having me. It's very interesting, the times that we're living, because with the Supreme Court just legalizing gay marriage, which was an unconstitutional thing for them to do to begin with, but it just brings back for me so many memories of Roe versus Wade and just like almost re-grieving in my spirit over that and all the more wanting to urge our nation to value life and value what God has given us, which is the blessing of children, and to do things His way. And so as we're recording this, you know, my heart is heavy, and yet the Lord keeps reminding me where sin abounds, grace abounds that much more. And I really believe, Felice, that we're in a time that people all the more want to know, does God have answers for the family? And does God have answers for us in how we can raise our children and how we can, you know, love our husbands, love our wives, love our parents and in-laws, and raise children who will be healthy and stable? And obviously, the world's way is not working, but God's way has always worked for those who will obey it. And so as we're talking today, I just feel so excited because I know that you and I alone don't have answers, but you and I, with the Word of God, with His working in our life, we have the words of life. And not only can we give answers, but we can impart life to people.
Oh, that's so well said, Meredith. And, you know, so many things are running through my mind as you were talking, because one of the things I read recently was, you know, how could we be upset about what the Supreme Court said? Because, you know, we as Christians still are, you know, think that for the most part we are a Christian nation, because anytime there's any polls that are taken, most people do side, you know, it's a very close margin, but most people do side with the Christian philosophy or the Judeo-Christian philosophy of things. And yet, you know, our Supreme Court did not vote in that way. And it is definitely a polarized situation with people on either side of the fence. And it's been, again, interesting to me. I'm an observer and I listen to a lot of different things that were happening. And just recently I was at a meeting outside of the homeschool world and in the business world, where I think I've shared with the audience that I do marketing with my husband. And one of the girls got up, who is a a family attorney, and they do handle divorces. And she said, you know, I just wanted to let you know that now with this new ruling, I am open to take divorces between gay couples. And, you know, and I was stunned when I heard that, you know, just because it didn't wrap around my head, you know, the wide implications, you know, the pebble in the stream, if you will. And mm-hmm. this gentleman sitting next to me, who was, you know, a CPA, and, you know, he said, yeah, it always astounds me, because I guess they were married in a different state, and our state didn't at that point recognize the marriage as a legality. And he said, you know, it always astounds him that everyone's so quick to get married, and yet, you know, that's one of the highest statistics of divorce. So, you know, just in the world out there, you know, the comments are not, they're not gracious and as kind as, you know, we are always under the assumption that everybody is on the same footing with the Supreme Court. No, you know, everyone out there, you know, whether you do have religious tendencies or not, you know, it's almost people that you know, definitely have an opinion about things, have an opinion on all of this too. And so today, not so much to dwell on that, but just to show how God's hand works in our lives, Meredith, that you had no idea that this ruling would be coming along when last year you were planning your conference. And, you know, I just think it's so amazing how that the Holy Spirit works in our hearts, and especially if we're open to hearing the Holy Spirit and how he's worked in your life with the topics and you know, the theme of your convention upcoming. And so, you know, we're going to talk about, you know, what does a normal family look like? What does a normal family do? And, you know, we are the norm. While the world, the media, wants you to think that we're not, you know, we still are the norm, and that's what we have to remember. You know, because you hear things like the new normal, you know, what is the new normal?
Right.
The new normal is not two moms or two dads. You know, the new normal is still the old normal, and that's what we need to, you know, emphasize to our listeners and to our families, not to be embarrassed, you know, that you have, that you hold on to these truths. So the first is, you know, your relationship with God or your communication with God. Let's talk about that, Meredith.
You know, Felice, it's so funny. I was thinking, I grew up in a family that we went to church every Sunday. We never missed church. If we were vacationing, we went to church where we were. And I honestly didn't consider my family particularly, you know, like cutting edge zealous for God. They loved the Lord and they went to church, but it just seemed like most people I knew were that way. If they were Christians, mm-hmm. then they went to church and they obeyed the word of God, and, you know, they paid their taxes and didn't cheat on their taxes. And there's just so many things that, you know, we kind of take for granted now. And so I would say the number one thing for a family, for a normal family who wants to obey God, is to go to church, to find a church and to plug into that church when you're out of town, to go to another church, because that communicates to the Lord, to your children, to your spouse, and to your own heart. Jesus Christ is first in my life. Worshiping him every week on his day is a priority in my life, and I will not compromise. And I know that in the 90s, there was a lot of, you know, seeker-sensitive churches became popular, and they still are today. And people would say, oh, you don't need to go to church. It's no big deal. But I really believe that the devil cuts Christians off from their supply lines. And their supply lines are the preaching of the word. Their supply lines are receiving communion. Their supply lines are worshiping together with God's people. And when we think that we are above that and we don't need that, we are only fooling ourselves, you know. Mm-hmm. And so I would say the first thing is to go to church, to be part of a church where they believe the word of God is true and they preach it fearlessly and that people love God, that you go to church with people who love God. And then the next thing is to read your Bible and pray in your home, because there is not a substitute for a father reading the Word of God or a mother reading the Word of God to her children and praying with them and praying over them. And you and I have talked about this so much, but,
right.
you know, my grandmother lived to be 101. And I remember before the last year before she died, I remember talking to her, and she was talking to me about her father reading the Bible out loud every single morning before they went to school. And she remembered that years and years later. And but it wasn't just that. As I listened to her, I thought, oh my goodness, that is why her life is so moral and upright. That is why she has always done the right thing. That's why she doesn't compromise, because the Word of God was solidly deposited in her heart by parents who had the Word of God solidly deposited in their heart. And so I would say those are foundational things. And then thirdly, to be committed to the Lord first would be to perfect, purify, be holy, keep the evil as far away from your home as possible. We obviously live in a world that's evil. There's no escaping that. But we don't have to watch evil movies. We don't have to listen to evil music. We don't have to build friendships with people who mock God. And mm-hmm. I think that, you know, if we really love God, we will want to do our very best to create a home where things are pure and there's a sense of the holiness of God.
Yeah, very good, very good. And, you know, I you know, as usual, totally agree with what you were saying, and just a couple of things I wanted to add. And, you know, one is we talk about our children catching or learning character, and there's a lot of character types of programs out there, but the best thing you can do is demonstrate to your children the best way to act, and that is, you know, with Bible reading within the home and a commitment to the Lord. And a couple of things. One year I created a program called Homeschooling with Proverbs, and this was the first time my entire family was doing the same type of Bible study, because a lot of times it's either for the kids or for the adults, and the two don't meet, and I really wanted something for the entire family. And I have to say, you know, studying that together over the course of our school year really brought us closer together. And we could discuss a lot of different things, and there's just so many life teachings in the book of Proverbs. And I had read it, you know, like one chapter a day to get through the book of Proverbs in a month. You know, there's a lot of those challenges out there. And that was just almost busy work because, yeah, I read it, but I don't know. It didn't, like, make an impact on my heart like this did. The other was, like you were saying, you know, talking to your grandmother, and grandmothers can be very important and powerful in a child's life. And my grandmother lived with us, and I remember sitting on her feet as she was redoing her yarn. You know, she knitted. So I would hold the yarn, and she would roll it into a ball or vice versa. And she would just tell me these stories about people in the Bible, so that when I went to school, they were appalled that I didn't know, you know, who Cinderella was or Sleeping Beauty or any of the, you know, fairy tales. But I, you know, and I was really, I was upset, you know, getting called out by this teacher, and not the best, you know, I don't know, I was kind of cheeky back then, probably no surprise. But I remember standing up to my teacher and saying, but I know who the apostles are, and, you know, Adam and Eve, and, you know, Abraham and Moses and Jacob. I mean, I was going through, you know, the lineage of Christ here practically. And so, you know, I went home and I was all huffy with my mom, you know, that I was called out for not knowing who mythical people were, you know. And I said, no, even my friend told me they're not even real, you know. So, you know, she had to, you know, then take me under her wing and say, you know, it's okay and everything. But The fact is, they came to life because my grandmother told these stories. And so, you know, just having our children just be immersed in the Word from a very, very early age really does set the scene and the stage, like you said, for a wonderful and moral life. So we're going to go on, definitely, having a commitment and all of that you said. So the second part here is our number two is a healthy relationship and what those are. What are healthy relationships, Meredith?
Well, I would say healthy relationships are when people in the relationship both place high value on one another and they treat one another with honor and respect. And in a home, people put one another's good before their own and also have genuine affection for one another. And I really believe that healthy relationships are critical to children growing up and feeling confident and feeling courageous and feeling, comfortable inside their skin. People want to be loved, and the home is the place for people to give and receive love. When we come into a marriage, come into a marriage, many times we are broken and we have mm-hmm. things from our past that need to be healing. And loving one another, just genuine kindness and affection and thoughtfulness, can bring a lot of healing to our spouse. And we can, even if our own childhood was not perfect, we can give a home of love to our children. I think it starts with being kind. Kindness is sometimes we will be, I've met families that they're kind to everyone outside the family, but they're not kind to people inside. But just little things like asking, how did you sleep last night? And, hey, I'm getting myself a cup of coffee. Can I get you one too? And just little thoughtful things when, I get home from the grocery store, my kids run out and bring my groceries in, and they don't say, oh, Mom, we don't want to help you, or why can't you do it yourself, or, and right. things like that. We model that by, like, if we're helpful to them and to each other, they just grew up thinking that's normal. So things like kindness and putting one another's needs before our own, doing things to sacrifice. And I know that a lot of times my children each have a night where they do the dishes, but a lot of times other people help them out. And very seldom are my children cleaning the kitchen by themselves. And that's right. because they have a heart to be kind to each other. So I think healthy relationships begin with placing value on people and mm-hmm. being kind. And, of course, the relationships that we have in our home are what our children will perceive as normal for when they have relationships of their own. So if there's a lot of anger and yelling in our home, our children will think that's normal. If there's a lot of sarcasm and backbiting, our children will think that is normal. So we want to realize that what we do in our home will set the pattern for their future. And also, speaking of their future, one of the things in our culture right now is a lot of focus on sexual immorality of all kinds. And one of the things that we can do for our children is to speak about sex as a gift from God and really put in our children a heart to be sexually pure when they get married and to see, to have that desire to honor the Lord and to really protect our children's innocence and their purity all the way up until their wedding day. I think that is the role of parents, and I know that children who have been kept pure really appreciate their parents for going that extra mile and not just saying, oh, well, they're a teenager now, they can do what they want, or, they've graduated from high school, so I'm not going to give input anymore.
Right. I mean, I've been appalled by some of the things, again, that I've heard parents doing when their kids get to be teens. But I wanted to backtrack a little bit, you know, and just kind of recap, because a lot of what you're talking about, Meredith, is, again, setting the stage for your children by your behavior as an adult and, you know, setting that example. Because, again, that is going to be the biggest thing that you can do for your family is, you know, to honor each other in marriage. A lot of times when I look at children who are insecure, those are the people whose families just really, the mom and dad don't have a very solid relationship. And I'm going to go ahead and stand out a little bit on a limb here, and you may or may not agree with me, but one of the things that I notice is, you know, kids that are particularly clingy kids, you know, and I'm not talking about kids that love to give hugs and sit on your lap and that kind of thing, but just the kids that seem like, you know, they're very clingy and they whine and complain a lot. If you look at the family, there's some dysfunction there in that it just doesn't, you know, there could be relationship issues and things like that. And of course, I'm talking about younger children here. One of the biggest things you can do for your children that are the clingy, whiny little kids is to spend time with your spouse. And I know that's going to sound funny because you're going to think, oh, spend more time with your kids. And that means when dad comes home, everybody's allowed to greet him because the little kids especially love to see their dad. But then it's to be known that mom and dad are going to sit on the couch or at the kitchen table or wherever you choose for just a few minutes, and it's just going to be mom and dad. The kids don't have to leave the room, but they just need to give mom and dad a little bit of space to be able to converse just a little bit. So, that, again, they can sit and they can watch and they can see. And I know, you know, dad gets home and, you know, the first thing you want to do is give him the baby, because I've been there and I know. But just to have that few minutes of time where it's just the two of you, and the kids can see that, and it gives them a sense of security to know that mom loves dad and dad loves mom and that they're there for each other. And I know it sounds like such a simple little thing, but it really is important. Another thing that I always put aside and I never thought was really important was going out on date night with my husband, because I just thought, you know, we don't have that much time, and, you know, it's all the stuff is happening, and you know, I don't want to spend the money and whatever. But that really is a relationship saver, and it gives your, you know, your husband this understanding that it's, yes, you know, you still love him, and it's still, you know, important to spend time with him. Because, you know, sometimes I'll talk to, you know, my husband, and I'll say something like, you know, are you available, or do you, you know, can you go out tonight? And he's just so excited, even if we can't, that I've even brought that up and asked. And, aww, you know, it's like one of those love language things. He just loves to spend time together. Another thing is, I want to put a blog post link, and this is episode 89, so vintagehomeschoolmoms.com, and then scroll down for episode 89, or look for, you know, are you a normal family? The topic is going to be something like that. I'm not exactly sure yet. I haven't named this podcast yet. But I want to put a link. Jenny Rose wrote, Curtis, wrote a beautiful blog post about staying pure. And I want to link to that post, Meredith, so I'll have to get that from you. But I went and read it, and it was just beautiful, because she's a single young lady, and the Lord is just using her.
Is that Sarah Joy's blog post?
The one maybe it's posted? Sarah Joy. That could be.
It's Sarah
that
Joy.
Could be.
Yes, it's Sarah
okay.
Joy.
Okay. So, you know, anyway, so send me that link, because I know Jenny Rose has written a bunch too. So send me Sarah's, and then I'll post a link to that. But it was beautiful, and you know, and I think that's the thing, you know, that God can use our children so powerfully for Him, especially when they're single. And you know, Meredith, you and I were talking about that recently, about, you know, how God has used your family in particular, and you know, until the time that He brings the right one, you know, for your children, and the same with mine. So, you know, that is something, again, to keep in mind. Meredith, we're going to break real quick for a commercial, and then when we come back, we're going to finish up this episode with communication, which is next. We'll be right back.
Powerline Productions wants to help you grow in your relationship with Jesus. Because of this, we offer a wide variety of books and ebooks about homeschooling, homeschool classes, and Bible study workshops like Real Men Build. Pastor Mike and Meredith Curtis, along with their daughter Katie Beth Curtis, have written this comprehensive Bible study to help men of all ages grow in leadership in the home, in the church, and in the world. Learn more at powerlineprod.com. That's powerlineprod.com. Powerline Productions. Being world changers, raising world changers.
My name is Felice Gerwitz, and I want to introduce you to my publishing company, Media Angels. I have a heart for homeschool families, and since 1994, I have poured my efforts into creating curriculum to support teaching science, especially from a creationist worldview to the homeschool community. My curriculum was selected by Kathy Duffy in her 101 Top Homeschool Picks. Another labor of love is a three-book novel series specifically for homeschoolers with a creation focus, the Truth Seekers Mystery Series that I co-authored with my daughter Christina. Media Angels represents uncompromising quality, not only with books, but with an online homeschool convention and this ultimate homeschool radio network with amazing show hosts. Along with books, Media Angels has produced an American history and an American government video series, as well as a family Bible study, Homeschooling with Proverbs. It has been my pleasure to mentor countless homeschool families and missionaries worldwide. I also enjoy mentoring aspiring authors with one-on-one coaching and the Information in a Nutshell series. If we haven't met, please reach out. I'd love to help you on your homeschooling journey, or if you have a book, help you getting that into print. I can be found on social media and look forward to meeting you. You can reach me at mediaangels.com. Thanks so much, and hope to meet you soon.
Well, hi and welcome back. This is Felice Gerwitz, and this is an episode of Vintage Homeschool Moms. This is episode 89, and today our topic is what is a normal family and what does a normal family do? And with me has been my good friend Meredith Curtis. And Meredith, we've been sharing so many different aspects of what a normal family is. And kind of the key to keeping our families intact together and learning together, and that is the communication skills and how important communicating is and communicating with love and not in anger. So let's talk about that.
Well, Felice, I think communication is so important for us as homeschooling moms because not only are we communicating love to our children and trying to build a close relationship with them, but we're also trying to impart knowledge to them and wisdom. And so we're teaching all kinds of subjects to them and talking about those subjects. And, you know, sometimes we can get so tired of teaching and talking to them about academics that we can kind of let the relational aspect die down, or sometimes we can just, you know, kind of delegate all of our teaching to videos and books and mm-hmm. almost be distant from our children. And so I would say that the most important thing about communication is that God gives us communication as a way to build close relationships. And even in his own relationship with us, he gives us his word. He tells us to pray to him. He speaks to our heart by the Holy Spirit and through his word. And so we have that model of communication, and we want to be able to communicate with our husbands and our wives. We want to be able to communicate to our children and have them learn to communicate with us. And, you know, you have a book, Media Angels has a book called secret code time about setting aside time where our children can talk to us without us interrupting them. And I've got two Bible studies. One's called Friends to the End, and the other is called God's Girls Friends to the End. And they both talk a lot about communication. Our personalities also can affect our communication, because some of our children are real people, and they always want to be, you know, where the action is, and they're very comfortable talking in big groups. And others of our children, they'll really only open up to us if we're one-on-one and things are quiet and calm, and there's not a possibility of someone interrupting. So the first thing in communicating with our children or our husband is to kind of know them. You know, what is it that, what's the best time, the best place to communicate with them? And mm-hmm. And then secondly, you know, to learn to communicate in a way that's always kind and gracious. Many times we think that when we're angry or frustrated or impatient, that no one can tell because we're hiding it so well. But the truth is, when we're angry and frustrated, and people can tell. And so mm-hmm. it's best to deal with those things first and not think that you can cover them up and just sort of, you know, sweep them under the rug and still come across kind and loving. And so a lot of times we rush in to deal with the situation when it would really be better to wait, to take some time and to pull ourselves together and spend some time in prayer, have a change of heart, and then go talk to our children. A lot of times we end up losing our temper, blowing our cool, because we assume things and we perceive things and they're not exactly accurate. So one of the things my husband is always saying in his sermons and to our children and to anyone who will listen is, when you go to talk to someone about a negative situation, always come inquiring. Say, hey, you know, I'm seeing this. What's going on here? Because a lot of times we do misperceive things, and misperceptions right. often lead to division between relationships and families. So when we communicate, there's a great verse. It's Ephesians 4:29. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful to build others up, that it may benefit those who listen. And I think that we need to think about, when we're talking to someone else, also who's around. You know, are we talking to our husband about something negative and that's not really benefiting our children? Mm-hmm. So there's a lot involved in communication. The Bible has so much scripture on communication, and you were talking about your Proverbs material, which is excellent. And Proverbs has so many verses on how to communicate. So those are just some tips on communication for the family.
I love it. And, you know, it's amazing how I've matured over the years, you know, of just being more of a hothead and saying, well, I'm Italian and we Italians yell and then we feel better. Well, we do, but we have damage control after that because we've hurt everyone around us. And so right. a lot of times, you know, you get it off of your chest and then right back onto someone else's. And so, you know, I don't get nearly as angry anymore. My husband and I very rarely fight or argue like we used to when we were younger. And we had a couple of rules that we set up. And let me rephrase that. I had a couple of rules that I set up when we first got married. Before we got married. And I loved the rule, never go to bed angry. So that was one of our rules, that we would never go to bed and be upset with each other. And so what ended up happening was, my husband is a very smart man, and he would just say, okay, I'm sorry, it's my fault. And, you know, and of course we would just laugh and say, well, that's just not going to work. And so I would say things like, well, you need to learn what you did wrong so you don't repeat these things. I was very much the teacher. And, you know, it just doesn't work like that. And men think so differently than women do. We get our feelings hurt, and they can't understand what they did to hurt our feelings. So we have to understand those nuances. And, you know, there have been a lot of books and psychologists who talk about that, you know,
the different, you know, men are from Mars, women are from Venus kind of a thing. There is, you know, some stretch there, but there is some truth. Like, for example, I was talking to my brother recently. It's totally off topic, but this just is a really good example. And he's a great cook. We used to own a restaurant. And so we were nearby, and he kept saying, come over, I want to make you ribs. And I said, you know, you don't understand, we're at a softball tournament. There's four games today. We're going to be done at 7. You're 45 minutes away. You know, we can't come eat dinner at 8:30 and then be back at the field the next day. But I'm going to take a rain check. And so then he's, you know, trying to persuade me about his amazing ribs and how he made them for a friend's wife's 40th birthday party. And I said, oh, and, you know, what did everyone say? And he said, I don't know. My friend told me blah, blah, blah. And I said, wait a minute. You made ribs for this guy's wife's birthday and you didn't go? And he goes, no. And I said, and your feelings weren't hurt? And he looked at me and he goes, why would my feelings be hurt about not going to, you know, his wife's birthday? And I thought, this is the difference between men and women. You know, he just was like, you know, and I know my brother. The guy probably brought the ribs and gave them to my brother, and my brother smoked them, you know, and he didn't get, you know, my brother doesn't need money, so I'm sure he wasn't paid to do it. But do you understand that illustration? You know, we would have been like, okay, so what did we do? Why weren't we invited? You know, how could she not invite me? Okay, I don't know her, but that's not the point. This guy's my friend. You know, we would have gone through the whole laundry list of why we weren't invited. Whereas with a guy, there's just on a different, totally different way of thinking. And I think, you know, Pastor Mike's, you know, idea there, which what you were saying, you were sharing earlier, Meredith, was that, you know, ask questions. Jeff's is always think the best of people, you know, and if you have that mindset that you think the best when your kids are not listening, you know, he says to them, you know, in this situation, what were you thinking? You know, when they're out on the field and some of the other dads are screaming at their kids going, you know, why didn't you catch that ball? My husband will say, you know, what were you seeing at that time? You know, did you feel, did you not see it come off the bat? Or, you know, like he's troubleshooting. And I think that's so much of a better way to communicate and to parent. To troubleshoot, yeah. To figure out what the issue is rather than to react to the cause. Like, I've heard parents say, I hate you. I could never in my wildest dreams ever imagine saying that to my child. You know, Meredith,
yeah.
We've discussed that, you know, that certain, certain children have definitely tried me. I have five, you know, and you know how it is when you have a big family. Somebody's going to be, you know, in one of those little slots somewhere. And I have had to pray at different times to the Lord to help me to love a child who was, you know, young, almost into adulthood at that point and was really pushing the envelope. So the Lord did give me that grace and did get me over the, you know, I can't believe this is happening to me. Whereas, it, you know, our children don't sit around and they don't say, you know, let's see how we can torture mom today and just make her life miserable, you know.
Right.
And, but that's how we feel, right? We feel at times that I just can't believe they're not listening or, you know, how can they not know this? And so when we start with that anger and, you know, it's just so, so difficult to get over. Yes, there are going to be times, you know, that there is righteous anger and, you know, none of us are perfect and we are going to blow our stacks from time to time. It's just a matter of if that's your normal way of communicating, you need to look at it and make some decisions about, you know, what is healthy for your family. And that is not normal. It is not normal to be abusive. It is not normal to be screaming and yelling. It is not normal, you know, to stomp our feet and to act like a child. I think I shared with you, Meredith, the one day, I think I may have even wrote a blog post about it. I think I did. I kind of want, you know, I get done with these things and are out of my mind onto the next thing, you know, about kind of in my mind, I was having a temper tantrum. I wasn't outwardly, but inwardly I was because I was so irritated with the course of events that were happening. And we have to kind of sit back sometimes and give ourselves the grace to get through it. And to not, you know, continue to plow ahead because, you know, especially in our lives, Meredith, yours and mine, just in the last few weeks, if we as friends here were sharing our conversation. In fact, we did have a conversation before we went live, and we decided we needed to go to prayer before we recorded. Our lives have just been so busy that it would wear you out just talking about it. So instead, mm-hmm. we go to the Lord. You know, we run on power of the Holy Spirit. We ask the Lord, you know, as I stand in my office here and look around, and I'm so glad this is not video, to give me the grace that after the next few busy weeks that I'll be able to come back in. And, you know, I'm into a big getting rid of a bunch of stuff because we're done with one whole, you know, section of homeschooling, and we're on to, you know, going to the end. And so, there are a lot of things I want to move, and I want to do it now. And so things like that make us irritated and restless, and then it comes out in words. And, we need to hold our thoughts captive and also our mouths, because we can be so instrumental in uplifting our children, right, Meredith, and in tearing them down. And we want to be
exactly.
instrumental in uplifting. So any, go ahead.
I was going to say, I think if we can always stop to think, are the words I'm about to say going to build this person up, or mm-hmm. are they going to tear them down, especially when it comes to our spouse and our children?
Right. And I just love the examples that you gave of, you know, your children, just being there for you. Can I share about our going to a conference together, just you and me?
Oh, yeah, that was awesome.
Meredith and I, by the grace of God, got to go a one-night thing to a conference where I was speaking. And so it was near Orlando where Meredith lives. So I swung by, picked her up, and we got to go out to dinner, and we got to, you know, have our little jammy party night, and then we attended the conference. But as we were going there, I said to Meredith, you know, this is so strange because I'm so used to having, you know, one or more kids with me, my husband with me, and, you know, who is going to help us get stuff, books out and, you know, set up and things like that. And you shared the same thing. You said, you know, your husband even said, are you two just going alone? And we were laughing because we didn't even know how to, you know, do the little luggage thing going up to the room, you know, because we always had so much help. And, you know, I will say, yes, we are spoiled, you know, but we did spoil our children too, you know, during, and in a good way. I'm not talking about,
right,
you know, having children that are, but the minute we got to your house, Meredith, it really touched me that Mike was there. And the first thing he did, and it was raining, and, you know, God bless him, he ran out and got our stuff, and, you know, he was happy to see you, and you know what I mean? It wasn't like, oh, gosh, you know, I'm going to have to go out in the rain and get stuff in, you know? He was just so helpful. And the same thing when I got home late, but the next day I didn't have to say to the kids, you know, mom's got stuff in the car, and, you know, my husband was up, and he helped me get some things in. And so, you know, that's the thing, that you are there for your children. And just one last thing I wanted to share about what is normal and what's not, which is not under communication, but just in, sharing with each other. We've been at potlucks together, and my husband and I, you know, we'll be there and visiting and so forth. And, you know, it's time to go get the food. So oftentimes he's talking, like I'll look to see where he is and he's talking, and I will go fill a plate up for him because he's a little bit more of a picky eater than I am. And so, you know, I'll quickly look because you know how potlucks are, the food's gone if you don't go get your plate. And I'm more like, you know, I can eat more of the pasta salads or whatever that, you know, he's almost to, you know, my vegetables can't touch, not quite that bad, but, you know, he likes like salad and just like plainer things. And so, and I'll go bring it to him, and whoever he's talking to will like be taken aback, you know, and they'll say something like, well, where's my wife bringing me my stuff or whatever. And, you know, my husband just leans over and gives me a kiss, and it's not like it's this big shock that I've done that, you know. And I've had people come up to me and say, well, that's really strange, or why do you do that? Or, you know, and I feel like I have to, like I did, I kind of prefaced it saying, well, my husband's a picky eater. You know, it's, I shouldn't have to make an excuse. It's just that I know how my husband is. I know that that just blesses him. And, you know, it's something I do kind of without thinking. You know what I mean? And
right.
I never thought it wasn't normal until, you know, sometimes I'll ask him, like, would you like me to get you something? And he'll say no, you know, or I'm not that hungry, or, you know, whatever. But, you know, other times I'll just do it. And so it shouldn't have to, you shouldn't have to make excuses, is I guess what I'm saying. You know, if there's something
right.
that you do as a couple, that's normal, right, Meredith?
Right, I agree. And I think just showing that much thoughtfulness to one another is really kind of catches people off guard, because a lot of times we take our spouse for granted. And I think it's
mm-hmm.
just, you know, another reminder, like, let's treat our spouse the best, better than
right.
everyone else. So.
Right. And then our children will treat their spouses like that. But what is the saying? You know, watch how a young man treats his mother and then you'll see how he treats his wife, you know, and, you know, it doesn't always happen that way, but it is like one of those indicators, you know, that I'm always very careful to never say always, because
right.
it doesn't always work that way. But, you know, the wife, too, has to treat her husband with honor and vice versa. And that was one thing, too, I learned from my parents. They worked side by side together in the restaurant business. They both at one point, you know, made they worked in the garment industry, and then they had a little seamstress shop out of their home at one point, and they worked side by side in everything they did. And so it's not unusual that I'm working side by side with my husband and his businesses and helping him, you know, the way I saw it modeled for my mom. And Jeff is very, very supportive, whereas he doesn't, you know, do as much hands-on. His is more in the way of discussion and advice, and just he has a lot of wisdom. Anytime I have not taken his advice, and I have to admit I've done that at times, it has not turned out well. So, you know, sometimes I'm the reluctant student. I have to learn the hard way. But I've learned that it just works so much better when you're in the same vein, going in the same direction, and just on the, you know, just heart to heart, in the same place. So I hope that this episode has helped you to realize, you know, that yes, you are normal. You know, homeschooling is a normal thing. We are not the weird people. You know, just strange. We're just trying to honor what God has for us and our family, and to be an example to others as much as we can. And also to learn from each other, Meredith, because I've learned so much from your family and the wonderful example, especially during the times of the Finish Well convention that I'm looking forward to upcoming. And it happens one time a year. And I'm looking forward to speaking there as we record this. It's going to be the weekend of July the 11th, the 10th and 11th.
10th and 11th, when, yes.
Yeah, of July. And it is different each year. So go to finishwellcon.com for more information. Any last words, Meredith, before we end?
Just a reminder to seek the Lord, and He has words of life that will change your family, and to do things His way. And even if it feels awkward in the beginning, as we obey God, He gives us more and more grace. And so God bless you and your family, and I hope to see many of you at Finish Well next weekend.
All right. Thank you so much, and I'll see you soon, Meredith. God bless.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for tuning in to the Vintage Homeschool Mom Show. Visit Felice at MediaAngels.com and TheVintageHomeschoolMoms.com. Vintage Homeschool Moms is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network.